Man, I love these Sundays, and I love just celebrating just lives that are transformed, people that are making fresh commitments. Can we get a little bit more in the house, the lights, guys, just a little bit more? I like to see faces. There we go, y'all. I look at the person next to you and say, you look a lot better this week than you did last week. Come on, let them know. Tell them they're in a state of improvement, getting better. Man, what an amazing day, and we're just thankful for all that God has done, and excited to be a part of what God's doing. Amen? And if you already haven't, let's get right into the message today. In your worship guide, there are message notes. So if you're here for the first time, you can grab those message notes if you want to follow along with us in that way. And then also, or you could just follow on the screens that are behind me. And I think we're coming out of a great month of April for our church as we've been doing a great series called Uphill Habits. How many enjoyed that series? And I would just echo this. Yeah, I would just echo this, that if you missed any part of that series, to make sure you do yourself a favor. I just really believe this. I believe it was one of the most helpful, one of the most practical series that we can really just help put together to help people in your day-to-day lives and living this out, not just on a Sunday, but through the week. Amen, everybody? And so, and I want to just say, really, today's message is something that God has been talking to me about for weeks. And this whole month of April, and even today, maybe kind of the exclamation point, although we're out of that series, but I really felt like this whole month of May that there's just some things stirring in my heart that I want to share with you. And I have plans to go, you know, into June with a new series, but I, you know, we're just going to follow, man, the Holy Spirit. And so I just know what I'm sharing today is just fresh in the sense of this is just in the last few weeks that God has just been stirring in me, talking to me about some things. And so, and I believe there's some things just for our church that God is saying and God is challenging us with, because greater things are yet to come. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that your greatest days are really in front of you, not behind you? Come on, that the best that God has for you is really right in front, not behind you. And I believe that for us, I believe that for our church, I believe for the vision that God has called us to. I just know that God is calling and requiring us to step out of our comfort zones and to sometimes go in the place of the unknown, and that's where faith kicks in, amen, and trust God. But I want to talk to you on really the subject. I didn't really know what else to call it except the two words that were stirred in my spirit, and that is just on the subject of staying in rhythm and flow. And if that may not mean a whole lot to you if you don't understand what rhythm means and what flow means. And so I'm going to help you really understand what rhythm means, what flow means. It's not just a musical thing. We're going to find that out. But I want to give you some definitions because I think they really coincide a lot together. So let's just see this. Rhythm just literally means a strong, regular pattern of movement. Everybody say movement or sound. And then flow's definition is the action of or fact of moving along in a steady, continuous stream. You know, here's one of the cool things that I love so much about our God, that we serve a God that's always active, who's always in motion, who longs for our lives to be in a place of motion with him, that he wants us to constantly be in a place that we're taking ground, not losing ground. Come on, somebody. That we're always on the place of not offense, but defense. Offense. I said that wrong. We want to be on offense, not defense. Your pastor's got that right. Trust me, all right? And that we're not just waiting for something, but we're seizing and taking ground, that we're staying on the offensive side of things. And so here's the thing I know about our God is that God has a divine rhythm. He has a divine flow, I believe, for our life in the natural, but also our life in the spirit. And some of us get up in the mornings with a rhythm. We have a flow to how our days start. Some of us have habits that we begin the day. Hopefully one of the greatest habits that you have when you get up is brushing your teeth. Somebody say amen. We don't want no funky breath. If it's a little funky, that's why we got mints in the bathroom, all right? Praise God. It happens to all of us sometimes, all right? But hopefully there's some steadiness. There's maybe a flow, a rhythm to how your day begins, to how you wake up and getting the kids up, or how you prepare before you go into work, and some, you know, in prayer, and some maybe start out in the gym. Whatever it is, there's flow. There's rhythm. I'm going to talk to you again a little bit more about what this looks like for our life and the importance of it. And I think when I think about rhythm, I think about this, that God was intentional with it from the beginning of time and creation. It's interesting to me. I want the band who's going to help me come on back up here with me. But I want you to think about a couple of things. First of all, think about it this way. Your heart beats in rhythm, right? The blood in your body is doing what? Flowing. If your heart wasn't beating in rhythm and the blood wasn't flowing, how many of you would just be just on the side of your chair? You know, it'd be how many would be a problem today? All right, you wouldn't be here. We'd have you in the hospital. All right, and so, but there's rhythm, there's flow. Think about it this way: the sun in the morning does what? Comes up, and then in the evening goes down. Then the moon comes up, but then the moon what? Goes back down, goes away. There's everybody say rhythm. Everybody say flow. Think about the oceans, even the lakes. I think it's so incredible to think about the power of our God, that he drew the boundary lines of where the oceans could not exceed. And the oceans and even the lakes, there's rhythm. The ocean waters do what? They go in, help me, and then they go out. There's rhythm, in and out, amen? Then I think about it. I was talking to Pastor Cody, our worship pastor. We got the memo on like the gray jeans and V-neck black today. Amen. Glory to God. All right. He's in the spirit. It's great to know. All right. But I was talking to him today or this week, and we were talking about the importance of rhythm and flow even in music. How many know good music has good rhythm? It's got a good flow. So I asked these guys just to help me today, that I want you guys to play something that is not in rhythm. So you're going to play something that is totally out of rhythm, out of flow. Let's hear it. Okay. Now, how many know that was painful? That was painful. Awful. It's terrible. We got to go to work, guys. They're going to get better in just seconds, though. About to turn it up. But here's the thing I know. When you're out of rhythm, things can get painful. When you're not in the flow, things can get painful. And it can sound nasty, and it can be all, ugh. And how many know sometimes in our life, sometimes when you're out of rhythm and you're out of the flow of what God has, it's discombobulated. You don't know where you're going, and much like the horrific rhythm or unrhythm that we just heard, is painful. Now, here's the thing I know about these guys, that these are incredible musicians. I believe we've got, it just, call me biased, whatever you want, but we've got the best worship team on the planet. What's up? What's up? These guys are awesome. So now, guys, let's hear something, because I know it's in you, we heard it today, that's in rhythm and in flow. I mean, that sound a lot better. Yeah, go ahead, give him a hand. Pastor Cody, if you would, grab that mic. So I was talking to Pastor Cody this week. I said, help us understand something, because I think this is what's so important. And here's the thing that I asked him, and I said, man, let's relay this week, what I think is important. So Pastor Cody, obviously, man, you guys work tirelessly Thursdays, and you bring it on Sundays. But what, for our team and our band, helps to create rhythm and flow?
It really boils down to two main points. One is preparation. So Thursdays is a time where you're not learning what the puzzle looks like, but you're bringing your piece and fitting it into the puzzle. So we come rehearsed Thursday, and then we kind of put the show together. And then the other is communication. So if I'm not communicating with the band and we're just, I said, when we practiced this backstage, I just said, hey, pick a key, pick a rhythm, and you heard what came out. And that's communication. And so if I say, key of C, 120 BPM, we have an idea of what that looks like.
So you said something I thought that was key. He talked about preparation. So you're telling me preparation just isn't a Thursday night and a Sunday morning for these guys?
Nope. You could, I can't speak for them, but no.
Yeah.
No, it's probably daily. Most of us
incredible.
Pick up our instruments daily. at least 3 or 4 times a week, not including Sunday morning.
Yeah. So, and for you, what drives that for you?
You know, God's given me a gift. He's given these guys a gift, and so if I do nothing with that gift, it's just going to wither. And so, you know, as we continue to get better,
so good.
As a band and as individual musicians, and we can grow in that, we're only going to glorify God more with our gifts that He's given us.
And how much level of communication would you say you have in a week with your team?
Probably more than they would like, but.
I mean, we appreciate good communication. It's helping our team grow, though. Amen? Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have a tool called Planning Center, so it allows us to really communicate without the need for phone calls or texts or emails. But on a weekly basis, they probably still get a text or two from me. But, you know, fortunately, I'm on a worship team with, like, 30 of my closest friends. So typically they don't mind too much when they're getting my phone calls or voicemails. But
awesome. Great. Give them all a hand, will you? Awesome. 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 This just helps. Because I wanted you to hear and I wanted you to see, because that's a representation, I think, a lot of our lives when we're not in rhythm and we're not in a flow. And as things can get just and painful. But it's amazing what you heard Cody talk about is the preparation that goes into their every Sunday week. And I love it because of the fact that they are taking the gifts that they have and not just sitting on them. Because I can tell you, if I had followed up with another question to Cody, if they were just sitting on it, they probably wouldn't be up here playing. Mm-hmm. He's giving me a thumbs up. Why? Because, you know, it's when we're giving and honoring God with our gifts in our life, we want to give Him our best. Our best. Amen? And as we grow, God wants us to grow in that gift. I think it's so important. And the Bible says this in John chapter 7. Would you read this with me? It says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I'm going to help you really I'm going to clarify what flow is and what it looks like. But here's what I want you to get. This is not in your notes. This is free. All right? And then I want you guys to put that scripture back up in just a minute. So be ready. But your rhythm determines your flow. Your rhythm determines your flow. Rhythm represents your relationship with God. And that living water that John, put John back up there. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living waters. I mean, how in the world is that possible, Pastor? How's that going to work? Let me help you. That living water that it's talking about is determined by what you get out of that relationship with Jesus. Let me take it a step farther and say it this way. That water represents the Jesus on the inside of you, and the calling of that water where it says out of your heart will flow. It's always been the design of God and His creation that when He put you and I together, that there would be a divine flow. That out of your heart there would flow rivers. And out of that heart and that representation of water always signifies life. And so from that, God is saying, hey, I want that water to flow from you, not to just stop and waste away in you so that it can refresh other people. I want to be known as a person that's better for being in a conversation with somebody in whatever setting. I want them to be able to walk away and say, man, I'm glad I had that conversation. Man, I'm glad I know him. I'm glad I'm friends with her. Man, she lifts me up because you know what? Man, every time I'm with her, man, she's always uplifting. Every time I'm with him, he's always encouraging me. He's always loving me because out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So good. And so here's a question I want to ask us, and I'm going to get real practical because that's who I am. Y'all know me. And it's the question of this, and I want you to be real honest between you and God. This is not between me and you. But have you found yourself out of rhythm with God? Have you, or are you consistent with God or inconsistent? Because there is a place in your relationship with God where it's not like this. It's like, well, 1 week, woo, I'm shouting hallelujah, but then I come in the next week, gosh, I don't even feel like being here. Then the next week, I'm up again, man, whew, come on, ready to take on the world. Then the next week, man, I'm defeated. I'm never going to get through this. And it's the reality for some that we come to a place of inconsistency, but God wants to get you to a place of rhythm and flow. Everybody shout rhythm and flow. He wants to get you to a place. And so whatever you are consistent in, you grow in. I'm going to say it again. Whatever you're consistent in, you're going to grow in. And so I want to give you a few things of how to recognize if you and I are out of rhythm today. Can I help somebody today? All right, six of you. Praise God. Hope for the rest of you I can help. Here we go. The first one is this in your notes. Jot it down. When you know you're out of rhythm is when we ignore warning signs. I think this is a crucial one. It's when we begin to ignore the warning signs that God has placed for us, we hopefully, as we grow in this and learn that, man, there's something not in sync and rhythm. Warning signs today may be things you know, but things you're not doing. And God will come along and kind of wave the red flag. Wave the red flag in your marriage. Wave the red flag and give the warning signs maybe at your job, maybe in a relationship with somebody. I don't know what it is and who I'm talking to today, but I know that this is part of God trying to get us to heed some warning signs before it takes us out. Are you with me? And so I thought I wanted to take it a step further today and not just stay on that, because warning signs can look different for people and the symptoms of them can look different for people. So I wanted to help us with this very practically, not in your notes, putting it on the screen for you. Here's some symptoms of ignoring warning signs in your life. Here's the first one, and that is that the risk of sinful choices increases. That you have been tempted, but maybe you have found yourself, man, I'm caving in a lot more lately. It's a warning sign. It's a symptom of ignoring the warning signs that God's trying to say, hey, man, we've got to respond. We've got to get help. We've got to get help with this. Here's the next one, is that my emotions are inconsistent. That you find yourself mad for no reason at times. You're just getting mad, just getting angry. Little things set you off. And can I just tell you that that is your body and your soul telling you that something is wrong. Heed the warning signs. Are you with me? Here's another indicator and symptom, is that I am less productive. Less productive. We talked about this a little bit last week, that God's principles work. Not just sometime, but all the time. How many in the house believe that? God's system, his plans always prevail, don't they? And so we have to honor God's principles. We have to honor days like the Sabbath, where you are replenishing your soul and not ignoring it. And then here's another symptom of ignoring the warning signs, and that's where, man, I just can't hear God. God is speaking, but are you listening? Is your world quiet enough? I love the scripture in Psalm chapter 46 where it says, be still and know that I am God. And so sometimes we have to turn off the noise so that we can listen, so that we can hear the direction of God. Amen? These are symptoms and warning signs. Here's another just, I think, sign or point to know if you and I are out of rhythm. And that is this, that when we are self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. And I believe that we have to return back to a God-dependence instead of self-sufficiency. Can you say a good amen today? Amen? Jesus said it best in John 15. He said, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Check it out. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear little fruit, much fruit. Apart, look at it. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do. If you don't remember anything today, remember that part of that scripture. That's how much you and I need God and our relationship with him. That apart from him, doesn't matter how great you are, doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how much experience you have, because without God and without a relationship, man, with him, we can do nothing. And we need him. It's interesting to me, too, that we pray a lot more when we're in trouble than when we're not. I found myself in that from time to time too. When chaos happens in the world, it's amazing, people flock to church. But when things are going well, attendance in churches drop. I remember back in 9/11, when 9/11 happened. It's almost 17 years ago, hard to believe. But when that happened, I remember the Sunday after Tuesday. I don't know if you do. But the Sunday after Tuesday, every church in America was packed. Why? Because people were frantic. People were running around trying to find answers. And America was in panic mode, trying to figure out, man, what's going on. And of course, the safest and best place that you can run to is God's house, because he holds the answer. But I never want a tragedy to have to shift my focus and get my heart back in alignment again. I don't want that. I don't want that for my life. And so, but it's said that when we are in trouble, that's when many cry out to God. And here's the prophetic warning that I want to give us today. The prophetic warning is this, and I'll put this on the screen, because I think this is important, all right? And that is simply this: can we stay God-dependent when things are okay? And you would, I think most people say, well, that's the easy part. Not for most. It's like we set our lives on cruise control. Have you ever been traveling on the road and you've gone on cruise control? I mean, that's a little easier. So you won't get your ticket, right? Hopefully. I have a little issue with my speeding sometimes. Don't tell anybody, but I'm working on it. I got to grow there. But nonetheless, here's the thing that I know. Here's the thing that I know. Is that should be the best time to give God the praise. Man, I love mountaintops better than I like valleys. I want to seek God while it's good, not just when it's raining. Like, thank you, Jesus. I got to say, whoo, yeah, thank you, Lord, that it's a good day. It's a good season. Because I know as we continue to advance and become more effective for God, struggle awaits. But that struggle doesn't scare me, because my God's an overcomer, and greater is he on the inside of you and I than he that's in the world. And so it's remembering our God and the power. And so how do we do that? How do we stay God-dependent? One of the things that was on my heart today that I want to talk to us about, and I'm going to get to it in just a moment, is the power of prayer. Give us our daily bread. Jesus gave the kind of model example prayer. Because here's what I've learned. I know who I am. I know who I'm not. Can I help you? You better know who you're not. But you also better know who you are. I remember in high school, I worked hard for my C's. Anybody else work hard for their C's? Come on, somebody. I mean, when I got that C+, man, I was shouting, man. I was like, praise God. I had some in the classroom, got all those straight A's and B's. Ain't got time for you. Don't want to hear it. Well, I studied all week for that C+. Don't make fun of my C+. I worked hard for that C+. I know who I am, but I know who I'm not. I'm so dependent on God's power in my life and everything that he wants to do. My life belongs to him. I want what he wants. We have to return back to a God dependence instead of self-sufficiency. Are you with me? Here's another one, and that is this: when we give ourselves the credit instead of thanking God. Man, what a dangerous place to be. James 4:6 says, he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The right way for us to live is to thank God for everything. Every breath that you have is a gift. When it's raining, when it's sunny, when times are good and times are bad, I'm going to thank God. We have to have that attitude of gratitude. Are you with me? Everything I have, and this is how I see it, has always been and belongs to God. God's the owner of it all. I'm just a steward of it. It's not just 10% belongs to God. No, everything I have belongs to God. The food that's in our belly this morning, church, is a blessing from God. I've ministered, and I've been in third world nations where I have fed children that have went weeks without food. Adults without food who are dying. It is a blessing for us to have food in our belly this morning, clothes on our back. I'll never forget when I was in Africa and ministered, and it was so sad to me. Some of the babies that we held there, naked babies crying out. And I'll never forget the one who had Down syndrome that touched my heart so much. And I just brought him in my arms and I prayed over him. Because they said, there's no hope for him. We're not sure how much longer he's going to live. They couldn't keep him in the hospital. And I said, he's in pain, right? They said, yeah, he is. But most of the babies don't cry here anymore. And I said, why is that? They said, because there's nobody to give their attention to. I'm telling you guys, man, we are so blessed. May you and I never forget it. How blessed we are. Are you with me, church? So blessed. Here's the other thing that I know. That this attitude will give you and I a prosperity of the soul that the world cannot give you. Amen? Here's the other one, the last one I want to give you, and that's when we think we know best instead of trusting that God is Lord of all. I've been there. Have you ever been in a place where you think, I got this? And then it's just like, you know, God's becomes the last resort instead of the first choice. But he wants to be your first choice, not your last resort that you run to. Are you with me? And I think there's an arrogance in our culture today that says that we know more than God. That we legislate and debate things like drugs and marriage and sexuality, and people say, well, man, the Bible's just all outdated. We need to be more progressive. I've been on the streets. I've had these conversations. We know better than God. Let me just say this. The further that we get away from God's word, the more insanity we will see. But the closer we get back to God and his word, the more peace there will be again. Let me prove it to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Will you read this with me? If my people, come on, with some strength, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me just say this. We're seeing, and I don't have time to stay on this. I'd love to talk more about this because I've been reading up and researching and connections and churches. It's amazing. There's a move of God taking place in Korea today. I don't know if you've seen the news, but man, they've joined. Over 70 plus years of hatred has ended. Can I tell you what's been happening in South Korea, though, that you probably aren't hearing on the news? Is a bunch of churches that have been just relentless in their prayer. For 70 years, there's some elderly ladies that are now seeing, come on, the answer to prayers that have been prayed for years. I believe the church is entering its next season, and I'm just speaking this prophetically, that things that have been spoken and things that have been prayed for, that we're getting ready to see some things come to pass like never before in the name of Jesus. And I'm just telling you, God is showing off and is getting ready to move in the earth like never before, and you and I just need to expect it. We need to believe it. We need to receive it. We need to know and understand that our God is still God, that he sits above everybody else, that his name is the name above every name. Come on, somebody. And I'm telling you, it's the power of prayer. Power of prayer. Isaiah 66, there are ones that I look on with favor who are humble. Look at this. He said, I'm looking upon people with favor for those who are humble, who have a contrite spirit, and who tremble at my word. They have an honor and a love and a respect and a reverence. The one who says, I don't know best, but you do, God. We're not called to understand it, everybody. We're just called to obey it. God knows best. I love the definition of humility. It's not the Webster's definition. I don't know who said it, but it's good preaching. And it is this, that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You know what Fort Wayne needs? Is incredible and greater love and humility. That there'd be a bunch of selfish people in our neighborhoods and community that say, you're worth it, you're worth it, you're worth it, you're worth it, you're worth it. That we find and we serve and say, man, where are you going to church? Man, let's do life together. Forget about church. Let's grab a coffee. Let's just get to know each other. And that'll come. Amen? And so rhythm and flow is so important. And so I want to give you a couple practical things as I'm winding up here. And this can't just be a Sunday thing. I've been in church a long time. Been saved a long time. I started preaching when I was 14. I was thinking about this week. Started preaching when I was 14 and doing ministry and traveling as a teenager. I thought, man, next year I enter my 20th year of ministry. It's crazy. I kind of feel like an old man, you know, it's crazy. But you know what? I'm more hungry for God than I've ever been. I'm more desperate for God than I've ever been. I'm in a place that I want to see more of God's power and miracles than we've ever been. Behind the scenes, church, we're having so many meetings right now of vision. Why? Because we see a Fort Wayne that needs Jesus. That out of 380,000, I was talking to a local pastor this week, we were talking about this. Love their heart. 380,000 people in our city and only 60,000 in church. Fort Wayne has become very de-churched and unchurched. And we need a baptism of God's love and power in our city again. And we want to be a part of it. We've been in this hunt for a building. I've come to realize in a week and a half, it may not have been what we thought it was going to be. It may look a lot different. It may be that we start our next campus right away because we see the need of our city. We see the need of our inner city. We recognize that God is giving us influence. We're closer and closer in starting our jail campus where our women, men and women are going to have services. And I'm just speaking it by faith. We've yet to have the meeting but to finalize it, but I'm just speaking it. And small groups, so that recidivism rate goes down. I'm getting better saying that word. It's been tough for me. And so they have a place to go to. And Dan Sparling, my mom, who've been networking with ministries so that our men and women that come out of there realize they're not a project to us. We love them, and God has a plan for their life. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the front row, the cutting edge of reaching lost people. Not in this for my goosebumps, not in this for my emotion. I'm in it for why God put us in this city, for such a time as this. Can you shout amen? So if we're going to do it, church, we got to do it together. Number one, we've got to understand the priority of prayer. Prayer cannot be casual. I believe prayerlessness, if we're in a place in our life that we're not praying consistently, I believe prayerlessness is a form of hiding. And I'm just telling you today, you don't have to hide from God. He loves you with an everlasting love. No matter where you've been and what you've done, he'll never quit loving you. But make a daily appointment. Make prayer a priority. Let it not just be a casual, but let it be an honoring approach that daily, man, we get to come and we get to connect with our God. I love what Max Lucado said. He said this. He said, our prayers may be awkward. For some of us, say, man, I've never done this before. It's kind of weird. It's cool. You can be here as long as you want to ask questions. We'll help you with this. And talking to God is just like I'm talking to my friends and just having a conversation with God. God wants us to talk to him, wants us to open up our mouth. But he said, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but look at this. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. It's so good. Daniel 6, Daniel made the priority of prayer. It says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees. He made it a priority. He was in a tumultuous time in their nation, in their history, that he had to pray a lot. There's some seasons that you've got to pray a lot. You've got to seek God more than ever, amen? And even in the seasons that are good, you never quit seeking him. Make it a priority. Listen to me. As much as your body needs oxygen, as much as your car needs gas, all right, as much as you and I need those things to kind of do what we need to do in life, I'm telling you, that's the same level of importance that you and I need of prayer in our life. I'm telling you, without it, we're nothing. We need the power of prayer. And secondly, is the place of prayer. You've got to find that undistracted environment and find the place of prayer. Jesus said very early in the morning while it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. I don't know who said this, but I thought it was good. This quote, that the reality is my prayers don't change God, but I am convinced prayer changes me. Every time you and I go into the presence of God, it's changing us. And I always go in with that attitude, man, I know I got stuff to work on. Praying boldly boots me out of that stale place of religious habit into authentic connection with God himself. It's a real relationship. It's authentic. It's not just this habit of just religiosity. Amen? It's a real relationship that we grow, the place of prayer. And then there's the plan of prayer. And this is what I challenge you, because here's what I realize, is that some of us are in a place that, man, we've not prayed before. And there's really no formula, because there's not. God just wants us to talk. But one of the things that we always make available to help people in their prayer life, because it's priority. Without prayer, we fall, everybody. All right? We need relationship with Jesus. Amen? Because we don't want to become more of us. We want to become more of him. That's what prayer does. Changes us. But there's prayer guides that are out there in the hub. If we've got, if all the first service takes them all, then we'll get plenty more next week, I promise you. All right? But if you're in a place to say, man, I want that help, this is just a very simple guide to help you in your walk in prayer, and it's yours. You can stop by the hub on your way out today. I just want to put that in front of you. And then our Saturday morning prayer is a time, again, I said this last week, prayer is sometimes more caught than it is taught. And one of the reasons why I love Saturday morning prayer is because I just love being in this place with a bunch of people that just praying and seeking after God. And it's powerful. Yesterday was awesome. It is so good. And then we get to pray for all of the people, all of the needs that are represented on those connection cards and join with you and believe in God for a miracle in your life. Start at 9 and end at 10, if not before. And it's powerful. And I invite you, for some of us, that's how we're going to jumpstart our life. And let me just say this. Let me just say this and say, oh, yeah, prayer, heard that before. But I'm telling you, if we're going to see what God wants for us to see, it's going to take a people that is committed to prayer. And don't get messed up with religion. It's not about how long. It's about quality time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. That's five quality minutes. You got to start somewhere. Are you with me? Jesus said this. He was asked about prayer in Luke 11. I've got to finish up. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. So we also forgive everyone who sins against us. I think this is an incredible example. This wasn't just to be a prayer to be recited. It's an outline that Jesus was giving for a prayer. And I would just say this. What's one thing, critical thing that can hinder our prayers? Let me help you. Really, it's kind of twofold. Is you got to keep your heart right with God and with people. All right? I wish I had more time to go there. All right, and here's the fourth thing. And that's the persons of prayer. God is so vast that he's expressed three in one. It's called the Trinity. And we're going to see it in this benediction here in 2 Corinthians 13. It says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The amazing grace. Who is that? That's Jesus. Here's what that means for you and I in our prayer life and what the Trinity represents for us. Is this is Jesus' role to give you and I grace and to give us the forgiveness and love that we need. Why is this his role? Why does he give grace? Because he is the only one who's ever felt what you and I are feeling or have felt or will ever feel. He gets it. Amen? He can give grace for anything that you and I have been through. He said this in 2 Corinthians, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. I think it's cool to know that God knows we're going to screw it up from time to time, but he still says, hey, my grace is still there. I know you messed up last night, but you're still forgiven. I just want you to know that how much I love you, and I want to continue to encourage you to keep on going. That's the love of a father that picks us up when we're down and dusts us off and says, just keep going. Let's just keep doing this together. And not doing this by ourselves. Are you with me? And so prayer should start with that understanding of, man, I've got to deal with some of these things I'm feeling. And here's the extravagant love of God. After the cross, we connect with him as our Father of worship and submission to him. I love Lamentations 3. It says God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created. Look at this new every morning. No matter what you've done or will ever do. Every morning it's fresh for you and I. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. Do we have anybody in the house today that would say, man, I'm sticking with God? And I say it over and over. I love that part of this verse. He's all I've got. All I've got. And then the last part is the intimate friendship, man, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, my friend. Focus on your relationship. Develop that relationship. There's so many ways that we can hear from God. I think we limit to him. We limit him. God longs to speak to you. He can speak audibly. He can speak through his word. He can speak through worship, whether it's listening to worship in your car or on a Sunday morning, dreams and visions through people, through a piece. Jesus said, John 14, he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That Greek word for counselor is the word parakletos. And here's what the Holy Spirit, literally his impact means for you and I. That he's called to one side, our intercessor, our advocate, and our friend. And somebody asked, I'll give you this quote, and I'm going to pray. Somebody asked Pastor Larry Stockstill, great pastor down in Louisiana. Said, Pastor Larry came up to him one day and said, Pastor Larry, how long should I pray? And he just smiled and just kind of did one of those head shakes. And he just said this statement. I thought that was so good. He said, pray until joy hits your spirit, then go about your day. Quality, not quantity, quality time with God. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray. If you're here this morning and Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, unashamed, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. And I just encourage you, man, this is an awesome opportunity. As much as a bunch of people got baptized today, for some of us, it's our first step in just saying, I'm making Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm going to pray a prayer with us. And I'm telling you, man, God is here. He loves you so much all over this room, in this place. If that's you and you say, man, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to go all in with God. I don't want to miss out. If that's you, why don't you slip up your hand. One, two, three. Come on, if that's you, slip your hand right where you're at. Right where you're at, right where you're at. Right where you're at. Say, man, that's me, that's me, that's me. Yeah, awesome, gotcha. Praise God. Anybody else that says, man, I'm going all in. Going all in. Going all in. Yeah, gotcha. Praise God. Just say this prayer with me right now. Say, God, I give you my heart. My life doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name.